Good morning. Allow me to steal a couple minutes from my preaching time because I still have another two announcements about the STM that are on your bulletin. One is the Cambodia one in August. We're still looking for people to go, and we extended the deadline to April 27th. So if you have skills that they are looking for to help the people over there, would you like to consider and pray about it and let me know and get a form? The other one is on under the other STM to Mongolia. It's also in August. And COWI is organizing this trip to Mongolia. They are looking for people who, just like you, who can speak English. That's all they ask, because there will be an English camp for 4 days for university students over there. So just want you to consider and pray about it. And they will provide all the training, resources, all these things. We just ask you to consider and pray. We need 3 to 4 people to join the team. Let's turn to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And this morning I was in the CMC worship service. I was asking people, you know, how many years you have been Christians. I started with 60 years. And then 50, 40, 30, and many people did not want to raise their hand. I couldn't understand that. I thought they may be over 70 years, you know, believing in God or something like that. But at the end, I find out they do not want to tell me their age. So they don't want to raise their hands. So let me try. If you have been a Christian for 5 years, please raise your hand. Five or more, what I mean. 10 years more, 20, oh, it's getting less and less, and then 30, this way is better, 40s, 50s, oh, forget about it, you know. I'm not sure about you, being a Christian more than 40 years myself, I find myself a lot of time going this journey, ups and downs, sometimes going through the valley of death, sometimes just purely rebellions, you know, didn't want to follow God, and then sometimes I'm really excited about following Jesus. But in this journey, it's always ups and downs, and I have no clue why, being a Christian, we will have this kind of journey. So for many, many years, as I mentioned to you, being a disciple, I mean, truly follow Jesus, I really want to find out why we are doing this, how, all these things. So I've been reading this, I've been praying about this, thinking about it, reading the scriptures, and I try to figure out why we Christians, a lot of time, we do not really grow or follow Jesus all our lives, or in this journey, we should be going up and up and up, but this is not true. And so that is a huge $1 million or $2 million questions that I've been trying to figure out. So the first point that I want to show you, the PowerPoint, please. And last month, we talked about disciple making disciples. The level, so-called the level of commitment a Christian will make to following Jesus. So the first step, Jesus was calling his disciple beside the Jordan, the river of Jordan. It was just come and see, and then come and follow me. And then he showed them what he was doing around in different communities, villages. And then later on in Mark, last month, we were talking about him preparing his people, his disciples, to do what he did, meaning preaching, teaching, and casting demons, all these things. That was the last sermon that I was sharing with you. And if we end this, if the commitment that Jesus is asking ended in Mark chapter 3, and I think a lot of us feel very comfortable because being a Christian in Chinese churches particularly, we emphasize a lot of performing. We're doing a lot of work for the church, for God, for his kingdom, and we are very busy. Some people are burning out quietly, nobody knows why, and even themselves will not understand sometimes. What is wrong with my life? You know, I've been serving God, but for some reason, I started with joy, but then I ended with bitterness or disappointment with God and a disappointment with other people and all these things. So is there something wrong with following Jesus? So some people will say, maybe I should not follow so close. You know, maybe I just attend in the church. I come Sunday. Maybe I just go to fellowships, small groups. That's it. I'm not going to get into serving God, because at the end, it was just so painful. So a lot of time, we find ourselves getting too close, so-called following Jesus. We got a lot of hurts, disappointment. And then we got burnout. And we just walk away from God, walk away from church quietly and thinking that, you know, I need to sort this out. So maybe we need to find this so-called the answer for Jesus asking us to be his disciple. What is the answer God is showing to us? So in chapter 15 of the book of John, I think Jesus was trying to tell us something very, very important. Because I don't believe that is the end of the invitation, meaning that just invite you to serve more and more and more and pick up some skills and pick up some whatever, you know, and then you serve in some kind of capacities in the church, and then you will be all right, and you will be a wonderful spiritual Christian. I don't think it ends like that. I think the last one, the invitation that Jesus asks us to commit ourselves to follow Jesus, is to remain, he said, in me. Infusion of lives together. I think this is the understanding of John chapter 15. And let's look at John chapter 15 together today. And I just want you to see the conversation that Jesus had with his disciple. If you have a Bible, you will turn to your Bible and then you will turn to chapter 13 and you will see that was the beginning of this conversation. They had prepared a Passover dinner, and then they went to upper room and they have this dinner together in chapter 13. So there was a conversation going on, and then of course Judah was going to betray Jesus, and that was the conversation there. And then Peter was talking about loving Jesus, but Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. That was at the end of chapter 13. So maybe after he said that, Judas was leaving, and he already walked out, and then talking about Peter, will not recognize Jesus, not recognize him as his Lord of his life three times later on. So they were kind of sad, maybe. So chapter 14 started with this, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then Jesus continued the conversation. He was talking about he was leaving. All of a sudden, if you look at that chapter 14, the beginning of chapter 14, he was talking about, do not let your heart be troubled, because I'm going to prepare places for you and I will come back. And of course, the disciple, you know, following the conversation, what in the world he was talking about, where are you going, you know? And then he asked him, where are you going? How do we get to your place, you know, if you want to follow you? And Jesus was talking about verse 8, very important verse 8, I'm the truth, the life, and the way, you know, all these things. And it's a very important verse. And of course, when he was talking about that, Philip asked Jesus, so why don't you show us, you're talking about going to your father, and the way to go to your to the Heavenly Father is through you. Then why don't you show us who God was? And now that is a huge conversation that is about to begin. I think chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, or particularly keep going, it started from chapter 14. So I want you to pay attention to chapter 14, how Jesus presented this conversation, a very important conversation with his disciples. Don't forget that he only had a few more hours before he was betrayed, he was taken. And then less than 24 hours, he was going to die on the cross for each one of us. And next month is a Good Friday, the time for us to remember what he has done. And this is the few hours before he was taken. So the conversation was very, very important. And we want to look at this together in chapter 14. Because they were asking him, where are you going? They said, I'm going to my father. So how why don't you show us the father? And Jesus, how he replied was like this. And before we go on that, you know, the vine and all these things is very important in chapter 15. Because this concept, you need to get this concept, because otherwise it's very difficult to describe the relationship that we have and why Jesus using the vine and the branches, all these relationships. So we will come back to that vine and branches relationship. And this is a very old one. Can you see like a human here? Standing there, you know? And then try to fight against this post or something. Actually, the vine is leaning on this wooden post, you know, to be supported, because this is how they grow. And so this is a very interesting vine, you know. So this is the background, and Jesus was going to talk about this. And then in chapter 14, the conversation in chapter 15 came from chapter 14. And I want you to see this, because this is very important. The concept, the teaching started in chapter 14. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time. Now, remember this. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And then Jesus saying that, how could that happen? You know, how could someone seeing you would see the Heavenly Father? And then the reason his explanation was, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? Are you getting there? So he was telling us, basically, if you want to see the Father, the Heavenly Father, you can see him through me. The reason you can do that is because I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So that is a fusion, whatever the term is, to show that it's a very vital for Jesus to be in the Father. I mean, they're together, you know, for us to see who God was. So the conclusion you can draw from this conversation, and very important, this verse here too. Believe in me, and when I say that, I mean the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So he was talking about who I was, and then if you could not see that, you are confused, at least from what I'm doing, hopefully people can see who God was. So he said, very truly, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. So this is a very important teaching. The destination or purpose for the disciples. So Jesus already revealed that in chapter 14. So he was talking about this relationship. So allow me to make a statement. And if you're writing notes, you like that, or mental notes, I think what Jesus was talking about, he was the visible representation of who God was. He was the visible representation of who God was. I want you to hold on to that thought until the end, because I think this is what he talks about, his relationship with us in the chapter 15, what he wants to teach us. So Jesus was the visible representation of who God was. If you want to see who God was or who God is, he said, through me. Because I am in the Father, and Father is in me. And in chapter 14, it talks about love. You will see those terms, love, joy. And then he said, I'm here to do God's will, nothing else. He's talking about obedience. This is how he lived his life. And so people can see what he was doing, actually all from God, all these wonderful teachings. So with that in mind, and then we will continue this conversation in chapter 14. And Jesus starting to reveal, introduce the coming of the Holy Spirit. So he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, all these concepts are coming. So the Holy Spirit will be coming, and he will be with you, and he will live in you. And then he continued to the conversation, on the day you will realize that I am in my Father. Now, one more new concept. Oops, sorry. Previously, he was talking about he was in the Father was in him. Now, he go further. Beside this relationship, he said, I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You see, he's starting to introduce another very, very important concept to us. That is how we live a life with God. So he was talking about Father and himself, how people can see the Father through him. Now he's talking about the other concept, about he living in us and we living in him. and the coming of the Holy Spirit. All these, and I can assure you that when he was talking about that, no one, that 11 disciples, understood what he was talking about. Because they were tired, long day, they had prepared a very big Passover dinner, and they had just sitting down, eating a lot, and then all of a sudden Judas left, and now the 11 of them, and they would just have a big meal. So what happened to you after you have a big meal? You know, getting to that point. So they were tired. We can tell because after they went to Garden of Gethsemane, what happened to them? They fell asleep. So I'm sure they had no idea what Jesus was talking about. I mean, you mean all these abstract concepts. So how this chapter 14 ends? Chapter 14, you know, after these important conversations and all this teaching coming, and Jesus said, let's get up and go. Very interesting. Let's get up and go. Go where? You know, they just follow Jesus, leaving the upper room. They were walking, leaving the city of Jerusalem, and they left, heading east, because I look at the map, the Garden of Gethsemane actually is the east side of Jerusalem. It's between Mount of Olives and the city. So they were heading east, kind of east, and they're heading out as they were in the mountains, kind of hills, hilly sides, all these things. So they saw the vineyards. It's very natural. Actually, that old vine that you saw on the PowerPoint, it was one of those found in the Garden of Gethsemane today. So many of them are still alive today. So when Jesus was there 2,000 years ago, those trees were already there. The vines were already there. So Jesus was using them, trying to show them what he was talking about in chapter 14. I am in you, you and in me, all these concepts. And you know, it's very hard to understand, and especially when you're tired, you have so many things happening, you have a group of people going to some, walking to some areas, and then all these things, you know, they couldn't sink in. So Jesus was looking at that and tried to use so-called a teaching moment, some materials that will help them. We learn from Jesus, by the way, how we preach, right, Pastor Henry? We teach something, and then we look at the people and say, they have no idea what I was talking about. So maybe I should use some illustrations to get a point across. So remember when I was going through the book of Romans, I was talking about the fish tank, you know, red stuff put inside, and then no one remember. Normal. And then I'm talking about driving, you know, you allow God to drive, you are the driver. A lot of time we just allow him to sit in our car but not allow him to drive, remember? Oh, man. I need more illustrations to help you guys. So we learned this from Jesus. So the concept in chapter 14 was very difficult to grasp. It's kind of new to them because I think this was the only time Jesus was talking about I'm in you, you and in me, you know, before he went to the cross. So he picked up this concept, and I just want you to see that it's rather difficult, but at the same time important. Let's look at chapter 15. Now, finally, after 15 minutes, we come to chapter 14. Let's look at chapter 15. Verse 1 and 2, I am the true vine. What does it mean? So Jesus walking by, there's a lot of vines, you know, vineyard. But all of a sudden he said, I'm the real one. I'm the genuine one. So those are plastic? Rubbers? No. He was talking about, the scholars believe he was talking about the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, how they failed God in the past. Now he's the true vine. So he said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Verse 2, very important. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. When you look at this verse, because it's so important, it's just a few hours before he was arrested, and many scholars are thinking about what was he talking about? Being cut off, meaning are we going to lose our salvation? I thought it was just a one-time deal. But looks like Jesus was talking about something else. And so people kind of worry about how we should read this verse 2. Many versions of the Bible, including Chinese, describe this as cut off, the word Greek in Greek. But there's another important meaning of this Greek word is something to do with the, as I said, vines, you know, because if you don't support them, this is how they look like. A vine without support, anything, they're just lying, the whole thing is just lying on the ground. So the branches, the trunk, so-called the trunk, or whatever, is just all on the ground. As you can imagine, you will not be very productive if you are, everything is just lying on the ground. So the Greek word, even though it was influenced by verses 5 and 6, because 5 and 6 seems to be talking about being cut off or no longer part of the vine. So the translators have that concept, so they translate verse 2, cut off. But the Greek word also means pick up, take up. So the gardener comes along and see the vine. Some branches are on the ground. So he came along, he actually picked them up and tried to take care of all these branches. Not cut off, but taken care of. So if you look at these verses, starting from verse 1 to 8, there's three kinds of branches that actually Jesus was talking about. Even though he was talking about the concept of you are in me, I'm in you, now he's using the vine and the branches, try to let us understand what he was talking about. So the first so-called a branch that he described was the one that laying on the ground, the one that was defeated, or the one that was being moved, and maybe roughly by the storm, or by someone just walk around, maybe children, you know, they were playing in the vineyard, you know, they just kick around and all these things, so branches were on the ground. It just describes some of us, I think, because this relationship, even though we are Christians, but we are defeated, we are on the ground, we are not very productive, maybe caused by a storm in our lives, maybe caused by someone in our lives that make us falling and no longer productive. And so God came along and he saw us lying on there, lying on the ground, and we couldn't produce anymore. And he, out of his love, and he just picked us up and put it back in the right positions for us to continue to grow. So this might describe some of you on my journey as a Christian in the past 40 years. We were defeated. You know, we felt bad about this, about that, and then, you know, sometimes for them it's nature. You know, the storm came through, and then some branches simply just falling on the ground. So Jesus came along, God came along and picked them up. We go through that too. But the Father's love will show us that he cares for each one of us, and he is willing, more than willing, to pick us up and make sure we will be okay again. So this is one of the branches that this story describes. And then, of course, the second type of branches is the one that can produce. So what God did was to do some pruning, right? And I look at the website, I find these pictures, and then I finally understood, instead of just words, now I understood what it means, you know. And actually, the gardener, if they are very smart, they have experience, knowledge, they know a vine cannot have too many branches and leaves. Do you know why? Gardeners. Any gardeners here? Because if you have too many branches, you have too many leaves, they suck what? Nutrients. And overall, the quality of the fruit will not be good. So the gardeners come in, they will purposely cut off some branches so that you will grow quality, what? The final product. It's the fruits. And I think also describe us. We have so many things going on in our lives. So many. Everyone is so busy. We fill our time slots to full, 120%. Sometimes I overbook myself three or four meetings, or two or three meetings in the same time. That was my bad, because I just didn't read my calendar carefully. But this is part of a pruning, you know. We have so many things going on in our lives. Maybe God is going to come in and say, maybe you need to focus. Pruning is difficult, it's painful. You cut off a branch, meaning that it's very painful for us sometimes when God comes along and try to so-called, allow me to use this word, discipline our walks with Him. And we, a lot of time we just say, no, don't touch me, you know. I'm all good in my comfort zone. Don't stretch me. Don't make me feel pain, you know. Just allow me to be who I am. So He came along. He said, He's going to do it. He's going to do some pruning. How do you respond to that? So the third type of branch is just like the translator. Look at verse 5 and 6. And, okay, I'll show you the picture, the real thing. I also found this in the website, so you can also find it. So this is the main trunk. I'm sure when they were young, they were supported by some wooden stick, so they would go up, and then those wires, you look at all, are supported by the wires or the branches so that they can properly get sun away from the ground, enough nutrient, enough water, enough sun, all these things. Just the purpose, of course, is to produce good quality fruits. So God comes along and say, verses 5 and 6, and the branches, He repeated again, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Then He talked about, you see, this time He did not say that the gardener came along and cut them off. He just said, those who are not part of this, connected with me, will be thrown away. So He was talking about maybe Judas. Some scholars believe He was thinking about Judas, or He was thinking about the nation of Israel, that they were not following God. They were away from God. So they were talking about this, God is going to have a judgment upon them. So this is the situation that Jesus was talking about, all three types of branches. The one that, you know, we are defeated by a storm, maybe somebody came along in our lives, do something to us, hurt us so much that we actually give up, and we were just on the ground and waiting for to be picked up. And then the other type is, we need pruning. We need pruning just so that we can produce more. The third one is, of course, is someone that walked away from God, like Judas, maybe the nation of Israel, disappoint God so much that God would say that I'm going to throw them away to the fire. So at the end, I just want to talk about the fruits. So what kind of fruits that the gardener expect us to produce? Anyone? What kind of fruits? Because you talk about the branches, you talk about the fruits, of course. Anyone? Are you all awake? I know not all, but at least majority, right? So what kind of fruits that God was expecting after His pruning, after taking care of the garden, everything looks good. So what He was looking for? Good quality fruits, right? Grapes. So what are those? So some people think that, well, of course, is the, you know, helping people to accept Christ and bringing people to Jesus. And that is the fruit of, you know, there's one kind of fruit. What else? Oh, come on, guys. Love. Okay. Anything else? Christ-likeness. Yeah, wonderful. And what else? I think some of us may be thinking about, maybe you didn't say, you know, our efforts. You know, we actually spend so much time, energy doing God's work. And I believe those are the fruits. But the last one is what? So non-believers, we help them to accept Christ. Those are common understanding. If you look at those scholars, you know, writing, they were talking about, you know, non-believers, turning them into a follower of Jesus, and then our ministry, so-called, you know, and then, of course, the last one, I believe, is the most important one, is that, remember, the conversation in chapter 14, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and how he lives in us. So we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I think this is the ultimate invitation to commit ourselves to be truly followers of Jesus when Jesus said, I'm the true vine. Because if you stop at the number 3, the book of Mark talks about learning how to serve, we feel very comfortable because it talks about our ability, our capacities, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We all have that, and we love to perform. We love to do tasks. That's why our schedule is so full, and we are running around, make sure we feel we have values, all these things in our lives. And then if we stop there, then we are in big trouble because you're going to burn out. You're going to run into disappointment with people, with God, all these things. You know those things. I don't have to repeat and repeat and repeat. If we stop there, we are in big trouble. Because I think, ultimately, in verse 8, before Jesus went to the cross less than 24 hours, he said that because of our fruits, we can bring glory to God, and you are truly my disciples. So I think this is the last time, the ultimate invitation, that God, Jesus, is asking us to live out the fruit of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit was coming to the disciples. And he is here, lives in you. Remember the conversation we had in chapter 14? Jesus was talking about how could people see the Father. He said that, what? Through me. At least through my works. So he was talking about characters, who he was. And then, because of who he was, we can see his action, also an indicator that how God was being shown. So look at our lives. So the conclusion in chapter 14 was Jesus was the visible representation of who God was. Chapter 15, after he introduced this concept of we are in him and he is in us, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, I think chapter 15 talks about we are the visible representation of who Jesus is. And this is what he's asking us, to go further in terms of commitment, not just doing things, because performing works, whatever you do in the church setting, everybody can do those things. Even non-Christian can do it. And we have no idea what kind of motivation you have. Maybe for yourself. We cannot search your heart when you do outward things. The only things that we can tell, just like Jesus, you will see the Father because of who I am. I'm in the Father is in me. Now Jesus go further and say the same thing, same teaching, but this time he's talking about us. You and me. If we are in Christ, he is in me and in you, our lives. People should be able to see who Jesus is through you and me, not just in the church building, Friday to Sunday. Ask yourself, truly, ask yourself, I ask myself 1,000 times, when I go home from this building, am I the same person? How do your kids evaluate you, parents? How do your parents evaluate you, kids, young people at home? Are you the same person? When you go back to school, go back to work, how do your colleagues look at you? We can do quite well, 72 hours maximum, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in this church building. But is that really you? Do you have this 24/7? Or just pretending you have this? And the ultimate invitation from our Lord Jesus Christ is to allow the Holy Spirit lives in us and allow him to produce this fruit. At the end, how many of you go to grocery shopping? You should be proud of this. So raise your hand. Nothing wrong. And it's a March now. It's the best time to have orange. Do you know that? From March to June, I think. From my own experience, the oranges are so sweet these few months. But after June, summertime, don't take them. Don't buy them. Wasting your money. So in the wintertime, we have grapes in Edmonton. I don't know where they came from, you know. In the wintertime, where did the grapes come from? Greenhouse, maybe. So how do you buy grapes? They're expensive, for sure. So when you approach the grapes, how do you know which one you're going to buy or whether you buy it or not? You look at them, and what do you do in the next step? Squeeze them. Not the whole bag, but just... Oh, they're firm. So if they're very soft, you know they are already way overdue. It's no good to buy them. But if they're firm, so you pay $6 or $7, you buy them, you go home, you wash them, boom, go into your mouth. How do you like it? Sour. You just want to spit it out. It looks good, big ones. Of course, those are genetic altered grapes. They're big, they're firm, and then you put it in your mouth. You are expecting a lot of sweet juice just, you know, blow up in your mouth, but they are sour. You just hate it. You just say, "Oh, maybe I should ask my wife to eat them." You know, we can look really good outside. What I want to say is the grapes look wonderful. It's so tempting because you go there and you look at, wow, it's so big, and you actually test them. You test them and say they are firm, and you just bring them home, and then you put it in your mouth, and all you have is a sour taste. And sometimes if we present our lives, we look good outside, but it's a lot of bitterness, sourness within us because we don't have this. We are missing the key component, I believe, is to make this further commitment to God, to allow God to work in our lives to make some changes. Because only this will produce sweetness. Not our own strength, our capacity, our ability, because at the end, so many factors will cause your disappointment with God and with yourself, with other people. And all these joy and love all turn into sourness and bitterness. So your work may still look good Friday to Sunday. But when people get close to you and they really want to put you in their mouth and taste who Jesus is, and all they can taste is sour. And I don't think this is what God wants us to be. This conversation, starting from chapter 14, Jesus already gave us some ideas how we could do this right. How could we live a life that would please God and bring glory to him? It's to live within him and allow the Holy Spirit come to us, because Jesus already told them that, you know, he's going to go away and they are going to do more works and more things for his kingdom. And how could we do that? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not just visible things that we do, But who you really are makes a huge difference in God's kingdom. Because who you really are actually live out at home, in school, workplace, even superstore when you buy grapes, you know, don't squeeze them too hard. Shall we have a word of prayer?